This is Bright Moments on Portland's Jazz Radio, KMHD. Well, today is a red letter day here in the Bright Moments Cafe because our guest is a fellow storyteller. But David Haney's more than a wordsmith. He's a pianist and composer as well, who often accompanies his stories on piano. He studied composition for 6 years with eminent Portland composer Tomas Svoboda, and he's recorded 66 total albums. Let me repeat that, 66. He's had a storytelling residency at Joe's Pub at the Public Theater in New York City since 2016. Other performances have included collaborations with Joe Lovano, Judy Silvano, and Steve Bernstein. Mr. Haney's also the editor of Cadence Magazine, a quarterly journal of creative improvised music that's been around since 1976. The Cadence website is a huge repository of Cadence podcasts, of interviews and music performances, as well as hundreds of video features and interviews and back issues of the magazine. You'll even find an audio interview with me that was published last year. And now, the Cadence 50th anniversary tour is underway with a performance at Seattle's Royal Room next Sunday, March the 2nd, 8 p.m., and admission is free. The show will include Nathan Breedlove, Jameel Nance, Dan Bryan, Bill Angell, Frank Cole, and Ike Levin, along with David Haney's jazz stories. He has a lot to tell you about Cadence Magazine and those stories, too. So, David Haney, welcome to the Bright Moments Cafe.
Thanks for having me, Lynn.
Well, it's good that you finally made it here, David. And let's talk about your jazz stories, first of all. Sometimes you take interviews you recorded, like singer Annie Ross talking about Sarah Vaughan, and have someone else narrate them. You set those to a musical background. Sometimes you yourself tell the stories that musicians have told you, and those are often performed live with musicians improvising along with you. And at other times, you provide accompaniment to your stories on piano. Tell us, what's your strategy when you tell someone else's story?
When I perform live in front of an audience, I use a voice that I would use speaking to my grandchildren. Okay. That was a conscious decision that I made. I noticed when I speak to them, I speak a certain way, and that's what I do. Because these stories are other people's stories and their voices, the nuances and the character of the story is embedded. So really, all I have to do is read the words and present them in a clear, open way. And that the rest seems to take place. Now, occasionally, I remember the details of how the story was told to me, so I can pass that on too.
As an aside, yeah?
Yes, yeah, maybe I remember how Sonny Rollins explained this one part, and I'm able to just sort of channel that moment too.
Uh-huh. So then you also include other musicians improvising along with you when you tell those stories. How does that work?
That's the best part, I think, is, okay, it's been 10 years at Joe's Pub, at the Public Theater, and the music is completely improvised. There's never been a rehearsal. I set up each piece musically. It's very simply like this. Lynn, you start the piece, and we'll follow you. And the next piece, I'll start. So it's very informal. And the music, I wouldn't say we're really out there. You know, it's improvised, but it's sort of in the same ballpark as the stories. The stories are unique, they're original. And I wanted the music to, rather than focus on that individual, just to show you a process of music making.
And on some of these stories, I've noticed that the musicians wait for a while after you've begun telling the story before they come in.
Yeah.
That means they're responding to your story, yes?
Yeah, it's very important because the voice is tiny compared to all these other instruments, and it's really important to sort of train your musicians how to improvise, when to improvise, and at what level.
So how'd you ever get started doing these stories?
I am interested in anthropology, cultural anthropology. And when I started as publisher and took over Cadence in 2012, I asked all the interviewers to include a question, which is, tell me about a turning point in your life. So these stories or memories became a regular feature in Cadence. A turning point somehow is a strong memory, and it's an encapsulation of an event. So I felt like you might be able to learn more about an individual from just a little event, as opposed to a list of accomplishments. So that was my intention, is to add that additional way to try to understand art and musicians.
David Haney with you here in the Bright Woman's Cafe, talking about his jazz stories. He'll bring the Cadence Magazine Festival to Seattle next Sunday, March the 2nd, 8 p.m. at the Royal Room. And now let's listen to a couple of Mr. Haney's stories. First, David tells a story about the eccentric and some say genius pianist Herbie Nichols, and then a tale about a mix-up of reds.
I was called at the last minute to play in a Dixieland band on a Turkish cruise ship, which was to set sail from Brooklyn to the Caribbean, through the Panama Canal, and up the West Coast. The leader of the band was a moldy, big cornetist named Walter Bow, who was subsequently sent to prison for plotting to blow up the Statue of Liberty in the company of a couple of FBI agents. The clarinetist was Ted Bellefeld, the sculptor who also happened to own a clarinet. Now the drummer, whose name I don't recall, was a relentlessly flashy bebopper. And then there was Herbie. We met at a pier in Brooklyn and set sail. And as soon as we'd left, our salary was cut. Herbie made a dash for the rail, but we restrained him. As I recall, Herbie had pretty much no baggage, just his black suit, white shirt, and tie, which was all I'd ever seen him wear. We set up in the ship's salon for tea time and launched into the standard Dixieland repertoire. We promptly emptied the room, and it stayed pretty much empty for all of our subsequent performances. The ship's amenities were minimum. Dinner was lamb chops and chocolate ice cream every night. In the middle of the night, in the Caribbean, I was awakened by a loud clunk, followed by a weird silence. In the morning, we were told that the engine was broke. We wallowed in the open water for a couple of days, as I recall. And without refrigeration, the chocolate ice cream melted and it was dumped overboard, forming a sickly, dark scum on the water. Eventually, we were joined by another boat, which towed us to Jamaica, apparently the nearest port. We were ferried ashore with all the other passengers, when it became clear that the boat wasn't going anywhere, anytime soon, the U.S. diplomatic representatives did what they could with us all. Our band was lodged for free in a local motel in exchange for performing by the pool. We spent a couple days in limbo, exploring the island, and we were flown to New York. We had no money. The U.S. government paid our fares. We arrived in Manhattan with barely enough money between us to get back to our homes. Herbie was a pleasure. He wrote poetry daily during our adventure and showed it to me every evening. I ended up with several pages of verse in his own elegant hand, but I subsequently lost them. And of course, he played beautifully.
Well, Red Kelly and Red Mitchell were sharing an apartment together on the Upper West Side. And Red Narvo, he'd just lost Charlie Mingus, and he'd left the trio. So he heard Mitchell play down at Birdland. He thought, man, that's a wonderful player. But it was kind of dark down there. And didn't really get a good chance to look at him. But he says, man, I got to get that guy's number. So he gets the number, and he calls him up. The voice answers, and he goes, hello? He says, hello? Is this Red? Kelly says, yeah. And he says, well, this is Red Narvo. I got a gig in Chicago for a week. You want to come and do it with me? And he says, yeah, sure. Says, okay, well, I'll come on out and get you. So they get in the car and they drive out and they get to around Cleveland and Narvo. He turns around to Red and says, say, Mitchell, are you getting hungry? And he says, Mitchell, I'm Kelly.
Our guest, David Haney, telling a story about three jazz players named Red from his album, Seven Stories from the Subway. And on that story about Herbie Nichols, he was accompanied by Jorge Sylvester, Andrew Cyril, and Adam Lane with David on piano. And that's just a small sample of the storytelling of David Haney. There's more coming up soon, too. And if you're in Seattle next Sunday, you can hear him live at the Royal Room. I'm Lynn Durok, and fortunately, if you attend David's show next Sunday or any other activity that'll interfere with you joining us here in the Bright Moments Cafe from 7 to 9 p.m., don't worry. KMHD, streaming at kmhd.org, has an archive of its broadcasts. So Bright Moments will be available to stream at any time for 6 days after it airs. But now, my fellow storyteller David Haney's live with you here. And he's more than a storyteller, too. He's also the editor and publisher of Cadence magazine. So, David, tell us about Cadence, how it's different from other publications about jazz, and your role in the whole enterprise.
Cadence seems to exist as a necessary, how do I put this? The musicians in Cadence are a wide range of improvisational artists. They're not just jazz, but it's a lot of jazz. And they're selected because of its kind of cultural importance. You know, it's not who is playing the most or who's the most popular, but what significance does this person have? And I think that's their history, is of culturally significant individuals that could use more exposure.
Well, that accounts for some of the content. There's a lot more to the magazine than that, isn't there?
Yeah. There's a lot of reviews. There's the interviews. There's we've done a lot of audio and video.
Well, as I mentioned, there are hundreds of videos of interviews and performances, and you can find it all at the Cadence website, cadencemagazinejazz.com. Well, David Haney with you in the Bright Moments Cafe today, and you can find his recorded work on Bandcamp and at the website cadnor.com, cadnor.com, and that's Haney, H-A-N-E-Y. So now let's hear some more of that work. Here He gets to be just a piano player in the ensemble, and this is what it sounded like one night in 2023 at Joe's Pub in New York City. David Haney on piano with some New York bandmates, including one of his frequent collaborators, drummer Bernard Purdy. So how'd you come to work so much with Mr. Purdy?
Purdy was one of my heroes growing up. He did some amazing stuff with Les McCann, the Invitation to Openness. And I noticed that he was coming to Portland quite a bit, and I found out he had a manager that lived here. So I contacted him one day. I got his email and proposed that the two of us do a session together, just piano and drums improvised. And it was his first time out of, 6,000 records or whatever. The last time he had done it was in 1962, and it wasn't recorded, and it was him and Herbie Hancock. So we did an album together, and that was the beginning of our relationship. We just seemed to hit it off as far as musically, It's very odd. I remember my record producer saying that he wasn't interested in this project because it sounded like a fad, that this would not be interesting after a while. And he had to take it back. And I recorded the album on my own and presented it to him, and it got released. But I'm going on a bit because there's a fascination. Bernard is very interested in free improvised music, but he doesn't do it for a living. So this was an opportunity for him as well as me.
Bernard Purdy, you're going to hear him again with David Haney pretty soon. David's a storyteller, composer, piano player, and the editor of Cadence Magazine. And he's with you now in the Bright Moments Cafe. You can find all his recorded work, and it is prodigious, on Bandcamp and at the website cadnor.com, CADNOR.com. And you can find more about Cadence Magazine at the Cadence website, cadencejazzworld.com, and that's spelled CADENCE. Now let's listen to another tale here. David narrates a story about Ornette Coleman as told to him by Bachir Attar, with Bernard Purdy on drums again.
And again, these aren't my stories, okay? This is, I'm talking, but it's Bachir Attar. All right. So this is my best memory, all right? It's when Ornette Coleman in 1973 comes to the village, along with great artists William Burroughs and jazz critic Robert Palmer. Yeah. It was amazing for me. I was 9 years old at the time. They stayed and made music all week, every night in the village. It was Ornette and guests from Europe and America. They made music from sunrise to sunset. I remember how Ornette recorded all that week. Yeah. It was legendary, and it was the most magic music I had ever heard. It was with my father and Ornette. It was something that could never happen again. That's why Ornette is the one. He surrendered to the music. He's one of the best of them in jazz. He described free jazz. I think what he means by free is it's like free to be witnesses, yeah? To be witnesses to human music on earth. I love Ornette. That's why I love Ornette always. Because he's more than open. He is human musician. As Zhazhuka is human music. I had conversations with Ornette, but my English is not very good. When I visited the last time in Brooklyn, before the tribute to Ornette, I visited him in his apartment. We laughed and we talked, and I told him I was going to do a song called Anytime. Because when you say to him, "Oh, I will come to see you next week," he would say, "Anytime, anytime, anytime." I love that. I have a song called Anytime, Ornette. Ornette Anytime.
That was our guest, David Haney, with Kirk Kanufke, Adam Lane, and Bernard Purdy on drums again. Well, David, we've got a story about Marvin Boogaloo Smith coming up. So tell us how you went about collecting that story.
Okay, now Marvin is, he's an amazing character. He played with Archie Shepp and Sun Ra, did a lot of stuff in Europe. He was in Europe for years. I met him in upstate New York, and we did a concert together at a place called the Falcon Arts Center. That was released on Slam Records, and then the next day we I did a recording of his extensive interview. So this was one of his stories. This was one of the changing, life-changing moments in his life.
Uh-huh. Well, you've traveled all around the world telling stories and performing with other musicians, including, we were talking about Argentina earlier. Where else have you been with your stories and your music?
Let's see. I did a lot of touring in Europe, basically Western Europe and South America, those two places. Peru, Bolivia, Chile, Argentina.
It's exciting. It's an adventure, isn't it? David Haney here with you in the Bright Moments Cafe, and we got a little time to hear more of his storytelling again with Bernard Purdy on drums. This one presents the drummer Marvin Boogaloo Smith, telling how he got his start, and Mr. Haney's the narrator here, speaking for Smith. And I'm Lynn Deruk. Glad you could join us.
Fill me out an application, and I'm gonna get me a job as a sweetheart man. I'm gonna get the go-get-it man, the go-get-the-hamburger man, the go-get-lunch man, and the switchboard man. Because one day there's gonna be a hole up there, and they're gonna say, Boogaloo, we got a group up here, and we need a drummer. The drummer didn't show, can you come? And I would say yes. I knew I would say yes. But in the meantime, I was running the switchboard, I was getting them lunch, I was doing the sweeping up, I was cleaning the toilets. I was doing anything I could just to be in that building. So I got the job, and I did all that. And then one day, Bernard Purdy, one of the famous drummers, he used to live in Teaneck, and I lived in Englewood. Bernard couldn't come to the gig, couldn't come to the recording studio. And they said exactly what I thought they would say. They said, Boogaloo. Well, Marvin, see, I wasn't named Boogaloo then. I hadn't gone to Europe and all that stuff. But they said, Marvin, we heard that you play drums. We gotta make this session. The musicians are here. Can you come and play drums? I threw the drum, the broom down, I threw the switchboard down, and I went to Studio A, and I sat at the drums, and I played my first recording day. After that, they never asked me to go back to the broom or nothing. None of that. They never asked me, and I never did none of that no more.
Well, you can hear this whole tale about Marvin Boogaloo Smith and how it all worked out for him, and many more by our guest David Haney at his Bandcamp site or at the website cadnoir.com. And that's David, H-A-N-E-Y, at Bandcamp. And thank you, David, for making time to stop into the Bright Moments Cafe today.
Lynn, thank you so much for having me.
You're tuned to Portland's Jazz Radio. KMHD Gresham, celebrating 40 years of jazz without boundaries at 89.1 FM and worldwide at kmhd.org, a partnership between Mount Hood Community College, OPB, and you.